The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So in the last few weeks, we've been exploring this receptive awareness practice. And what I'd like to explore today in this topic is that as we explore what it means to receive experience, we can also get curious about what it means to be aware. So I'd like to explore this side of the equation. What does it mean to recognize the awareness itself? Or in this case, we'll be talking more about the mindfulness itself. Can we begin to notice that piece? One of the ways I think that it's most interesting or easiest to begin to explore this is by beginning to be curious about where mindfulness gets lost and when it comes back. What we typically talk about or call the wandering mind or getting lost in thought. When we get lost in thought, essentially what's happened there is that mindfulness has gone away. And then when mindfulness returns, we've had the mindfulness is real arising. And so we can think about or explore the phenomenon of the wandering mind as a phenomenon demonstrating or to help us to explore the impermanence of mindfulness itself, how mindfulness comes and goes, how mindfulness arises and passes. So we can begin to look at how mindfulness gets lost, the things that catch us, the things that pull us away from mindfulness, and do this exploration with curiosity rather than judgment. So when I began getting curious about this phenomenon of the mindfulness coming and going, it really supported me in letting go of the judgment around the wandering mind. I think a lot of people in meditation, you know, we're cultivating mindfulness, we're cultivating awareness, we're trying to stay present, stay with the breath, stay with the present moment experience, and then the mind wanders. And we get frustrated with that because we feel like somehow I should be in control of my mind. I should be able to make my mind do what I want it to do. Well, this is one of the great lessons that we learn with our mindfulness practices, that very much our minds are not really under our direct control all the time, or much of the time even. And so we learn something about the out of control or the uncontrollability of our minds, and it's not something that we need to take personally. It is just the nature of a human mind. So when you did this last meditation, how many of you had your mind wander? Everybody's hand should go up. Yes, my mind wandered. You know, it is the human experience that's what happens. And so when I began being curious about the phenomenon of, oh, the mind wanders, oh, it comes back, how does it get caught, and what's happening when it comes back, as I got curious about recognizing the mindfulness itself, it really began to help me not judge the phenomenon of the mind wandering so much. It's like any time that I notice the mindfulness returning, as I suggested in the guided meditation, that when you notice the mindfulness returning, when you notice you've been thinking and mindfulness comes back, that moment is a great moment to begin to get the familiarity with what it means to be mindful, what it means for awareness to be there. In my own experience, when I notice that moment, there can be a kind of a contrast between what it's like now for the mind to be present and what it was like a moment ago when the mind was caught. And so there can be a little bit of clarity about recognizing, oh, this is what it means to be mindful in that moment when mindfulness returns. If we're not judging ourselves for the fact that the mind was wandering, we've got that opportunity to see, oh, mindfulness is back. This is what it's like. And so curiosity about that moment itself. Often when we cultivate mindfulness, we are cultivating it. We can say maybe there's two kinds of awareness or mindfulness. One where we know that we already know that we're mindful, and we're reminding ourselves to be mindful, so that we could call this prompting ourselves to be mindful. So it's like, okay, yes, I'm aware, and I'm going to try to stay connected to the breath. The other kind of mindfulness is that moment when mindfulness returns, that moment that mindfulness comes back. We can call that unprompted, because we weren't in charge of that moment. We didn't have control over that moment. It just happened. Mindfulness returned. That's one of the great things about that moment, too, because it gives us a taste or a flavor of what it means to have a very natural moment of mindfulness, one that I didn't have to do or think about or construct. It was just there. It happened. And so as we can begin to connect with that moment, not only do we recognize that what awareness feels like, but we get a sense of the possibility to be aware and not trying so hard, not pushing, not forcing ourselves to be aware. So it's got some benefits to that moment of recognizing mindfulness returning. And so in that moment, the practice is very simple, or can be very simple in this receptive awareness style. Often in a directed practice, a directed meditation practice, we would at that moment recognize awareness is back. What I'm exploring is directing the attention to the breath, for example, and so let me return the attention to the breath. That would be the instructions in a directed mindfulness practice, a directed meditation practice. In the receptive practice, we recognize that we're aware. And in that moment, we recognize what's already here, what's already known in this moment. What am I already aware of? Awareness is back, and in its very nature, awareness knows something. There's awareness and something that it knows. And so in that moment when mindfulness returns, there's something that awareness is already knowing. It might be knowing that I'm thinking, or knowing that I'm feeling confused, or knowing that I'm hearing something. Sometimes we wake up in because a sound happens, and we come into awareness through something entering into our ear door. So in that moment, what is it that's there? That's receiving. It's like, okay, I'm not in charge of what to direct the attention to, but I am aware, and there's something already known in that moment. This is a form of mindfulness. When I first started meditating and practicing mindfulness, I thought that the definition of mindfulness was that I chose what to pay attention to. And that's not quite the case. That is one form of meditation practice. But mindfulness itself, awareness itself, is simply the recognition of knowing what's happening in the moment while it's happening. We can choose in that moment to direct the attention or know what's already here. And that is a form of mindfulness. This receptive awareness where we're not directing the attention but receiving is a form of mindfulness practice. So recognizing mindfulness, or getting familiar with mindfulness, recognizing the moment that mindfulness returns is one way to begin to explore the phenomenon of mindfulness itself. And another way is begin to get curious about how do we lose mindfulness? When does mindfulness kind of get stuck to something, or when does our attention get stuck to something, and how do we lose our mindfulness? Sometimes people in exploring the practice, exploring the meditation practice, think there's no way to recognize or know how does the mindfulness gets lost. It's either here and I know what I'm with, or it's not here. And again, that's not quite the way we can explore our experience. It's actually possible to be curious about where the mindfulness gets lost. And I'm going to describe a few things we can explore here to do that. First thing I want to recognize again or to point to again is that this is an exploration of curiosity, not of judging ourselves. Everybody will get stuck to something or other. Everybody will lose mindfulness in various fashions. We all actually have our favorite ways to lose mindfulness. We have familiar patterns or habits that we tend to get stuck to. And so this isn't about judging ourselves, but it's more about, can I be curious about where do I lose mindfulness? So sometimes we can recognize that we lose mindfulness in particular activities more than others. Maybe, for instance, driving. You might notice that you have long stretches of time when you're not aware when you're driving. Or maybe when you're preparing a meal or something, just you find chunks of time that you recognize through the day, wow, I am just completely lost. Now, maybe much of the day, I mean, it may in our daily lives, it may be much of the day that we're lost. But perhaps there are little pockets where we have a little sense of being present, and we can begin to be curious about those pockets where we're not present. And so you might just pick various areas where you notice, yeah, wow, you know, when I get in that car, I lose awareness. And maybe we notice when we get into the car, we turn on the radio kind of automatically, and then we start listening to the radio, and we get lost in the radio, in what we're hearing. And so what we can explore is kind of in a reflective way, we can think back on our day, and think, what are the areas where I know that I just lose it completely? What are those places where I just know I am not aware at all? And in that reflection, maybe just pick one area after you've noticed which areas you tend to really get stuck in. And as I said, in our daily lives, there are many areas we get stuck in. And so maybe just pick one for a few days. And then be curious about what happens there. Like I said, with the car, maybe it's that you get in the car and kind of automatically reach for the radio to turn on the radio, and you notice that you get caught in the news or the current political drama of the moment. So the mind, you notice that you get stuck to something there. And so you might just recognize, oh, okay, I'm getting stuck when I turn on the radio. So maybe what would happen if I don't turn on the radio? And begin to explore the possibility of infusing mindfulness into places where we habitually get lost. So the first part of the exploration is kind of recognizing, yes, there are areas where I get lost, and then being curious about what happens there. You know, what happens in those times? What happens when I wash the dishes? What happens when I get into the car? When you know areas that you tend to lose mindfulness, sometimes, and then set an intention. It's kind of like set an intention. Okay, I'm going to check out what happens when I get into the car. You could even put reminders on your car seat or something. Okay, pay attention to help you recognize or remember mindfulness in that time. So playing with the possibility of waking up in those areas where we tend to get lost. In our meditation, this can also be an interesting exploration. You know, we can be curious about, like, over time, like at the end of a sitting, we might be curious about, you know, what happened? Did I get lost in certain kinds of thoughts or certain kinds of states of body? You know, if pain happens, often we get lost in pain. Or if strong emotional reactions happen, we often get lost in those. And so if we can be curious about that, we might begin to explore what happens there. Now, the key in this, or a key kind of curiosity here, isn't about trying to force yourself to stay with something, but more curiosity about what happens when that comes up. You know, often, so if you begin to recognize that when you're sitting, you often get stuck when the mind starts planning, or you wake up a lot. Sometimes we can recognize our patterns or our places where we get lost by noticing what we are waking up into when our mindfulness returns. So we're waking up into planning a lot, and so that may be the thing that is taking us away. And so knowing that, as we can recognize that, as we can recognize, oh, planning is a hook for me, then you might be able to recognize the beginning threads of planning. You might just be able to recognize that. And then in that moment, in those moments now, what you might think to do in that moment is, oh, planning's happening. Oh, let me come back to the breath. Let me hold on to mindfulness. Let me try to stay present there. I'd like to encourage something a little different. Just see what might happen if it's like, oh, planning is starting. Let's see if I can see how does the mindfulness kind of get stuck to that. Or what happens there? You might recognize that the first thoughts of, oh, this is what I need to do tomorrow. And then see another couple of thoughts tumble on. And then feel a quick arising of anxiety. And that's where you get hooked, is in the anxiety. And as you are curious about exploring the process, sometimes you might be able to recognize, oh my gosh, you know, anxiety, that's where the hooking happens. And then explore, what does it mean to be present for that? So rather than trying to force yourself to stay present with something where you tend to get hooked, I like to explore the possibility of being curious about how does the mind get hooked to those things? What happens in there? And as we explore a receptive awareness, this is the receptive awareness practice where we are just looking at, well, what's happening now? And what's happening now? That style of practice lends itself to being curious about, oh, what's happening now is planning thoughts are arising. Oh, and then anxiety is arising. So we're not trying to control or saying, oh, planning thoughts are arising, come back to the breath. But it's no, oh, planning thoughts are arising. What's happening along with that? What's being received? So exploring what is happening as the things that are sticky start. We may begin to see kind of a conditioned pattern or kind of an unfolding familiar pattern that we actually see we can meet with some level of mindfulness and be able to use some of our tools for staying present when we see something strong arise. Like, you know, anxiety often is something strong where we tend to lose awareness because our habit with that is to think, I need to think about this, I need to fix this or change this. I need to figure out how to do something in order to fix the problem that I'm anxious around. So, but there might be the possibility of recognizing, oh, anxiety is arising. Maybe I can just feel it in my body and not be caught by the tumbling of thoughts around it. So as we begin to see where we, you know, lose awareness, we begin to see where mindfulness gets kind of stuck. You know, sometimes I find that When we're exploring this kind of pull out of the present moment, and we're noticing, oh, planning is where I tend to get stuck. Oh, there's a planning thought. Sometimes it can almost feel like we're being pulled with a gravitational pull towards something, and we can feel that feeling. What does that feel like? We can recognize that pull. I'll give a description of this. kind of an exploration around this. At one point, I was attending to my experience. It was on a retreat. And at that point, I was actually watching the breath. And so I was noticing the experience of the breath. And I began to recognize that, you know, the mind would wander, and then I'd come back. And I began to recognize that as I was paying attention to the breath, I began to feel or recognize the pull, so that it's kind of like I could feel the mind losing interest in the breath. I could kind of feel the mind kind of beginning to float away or be, you know, just kind of drift away from that connection with the breath. And as I felt that, my initial response was, well, come back to the breath. That's what it means to be mindful. So I'd feel that pull, and I would come back to the breath. So I wasn't losing mindfulness too much, but I was just getting familiar with that feeling of the mind being pulled away from some particular experience, kind of like the attention moves to something else. And what I, at some point, after noticing that several times, I recognized, wow, I'm aware of this pull, and I'm present. I know that I'm aware. So this was the recognition of the awareness itself. And instead of having the idea that what mindfulness means is to be mindful of the breath, it's like, oh, I'm mindful of this. I'm mindful of the pull. Let's see what the mind is pulled to. And so I just let that pull happen. And to my surprise, what happened is that the mind kind of entered into a more settled and spacious place. That was not, it wasn't that the mind got lost in that moment. It actually, it was like it was pulling and relaxing. It was pulling away from a focused attention. And it was like, rest, relax, settle. And so that allowing the mindfulness to follow, I talked about following the attention in the guided meditation. In that case, letting the mindfulness follow what it was just doing allowed the mind to settle into a more still place in that case. In the receptive awareness, I talk about that following the attention. You know, we explore what's here now. And sometimes as we're with something, like maybe the sound of the train going by, we're noticing that. And then that begins to fade, and then we notice that the attention just kind of moves to something else. And so we can get familiar with that feeling of following. In a way, what we're doing there is connecting with the factor of attention, with what it is that the mind wants to pay attention to. Rather than saying, I'm going to pay attention to something, we're watching the function of attention do its thing. And it will do its thing. When we're not consciously guiding it, directing it, attention will pick up on one thing and then it will move to something else. And we can watch that happen. And as we do that, we get familiar with that feeling of pull away from an object to something else. I would say that when the mind wanders out of the present moment, what happens is that the attention has been pulled to something new, you know, something that we've been hearing, the train, for instance, and then maybe we hear the sound of somebody coming in the door, and so the mind jumps to that. And yet, our interest has been caught by the train, and so we don't really notice that the attention has jumped to the sound of the door. And so the attention has gone to something else, and we haven't consciously recognized, oh, hearing the sound of the door. So when the mind wanders, what tends to happen is that the attention picks up on something new, and we're not aware of that. And what happens when the attention picks up on something new? Often it starts thinking about it. Oh, I wonder who came in the door. Oh, somebody's coming in late. And then the mind gets lost in thought. So if we can be curious about that experience or the sense of the attention being pulled to something new, it can create a a kind of a continuity of mindfulness that allows a stabilizing and a settling in the present moment. The receptive awareness practice, where we're not focused on one thing in particular, it does result in a stabilizing of mind and a concentration, in fact, a form of the mind being very present, very settled. The stabilizing in this form of practice is not the typical thing that we think of when we think of concentration, of being with one experience. You know, when we think of concentration, we usually think of narrowing the attention and focusing on one thing. The form of concentration that happens in this style is a stability of the awareness so that it's not caught by the various things that attention is pulled to. It can follow that. It can know, oh, awareness is pulled here, awareness is pulled here, awareness is pulled here. And the awareness stays present. There can be a sense of a stillness of the awareness in this practice, but a flow of experience. So it's got a different kind of feeling than the concentration on one point or one experience. So getting familiar with that movement or the shifting of attention, that's becoming familiar with a part of the mindfulness itself, because when we are aware, the mind is paying attention to something. And as the attention shifts, we can allow the mindfulness to shift with that. Another piece that can be interesting to look at here is a kind of a view or a sense that we have around certain states of mind that it's just not possible to be mindful in certain states of mind or certain experiences. So sleepiness is often one of those, or spacing out, that kind of mind state. We can believe that it's not possible to be mindful in those states. It kind of almost by definition, it seems that spacing out means not mindful. You know, what is spacing out? You know, we might think, well, it means we're not mindful. But there is a state that the mind goes into when we're spacing out. And it's possible to be mindful of that state. I would say it's habitual for us to not be mindful in that state. But it's not necessary. Mindfulness is not an integral part of that state. And likewise with sleepiness. It is actually possible to be mindful or aware as the mind kind of sinks into sleepiness. We can know that. So there are states of mind in which we habitually get lost, but it's not necessary to get lost. And so some of this at this point is just pointing to information. Because often we wake up into sleepiness, or we know sleepiness, we know that we're sleepy, and what we're doing in that time is telling ourselves, well, I'm so sleepy I can't meditate, I'm so sleepy I can't meditate, this is a problem, oh, let me try to pay attention to the breath, oh, I'm so sleepy I can't pay attention to the breath. So we're basically talking to ourselves about how sleepy we are, and in that talking to ourselves, we're lost in the story of being too sleepy to meditate. What I'd like to propose is, if you have enough awareness to have the thought, I'm too sleepy to be mindful, then there's enough mindfulness to be curious about the sleepiness itself. There are times when we don't even have enough awareness to recognize, oh, I'm too sleepy, we're just asleep. But there are those times where we think, yeah, I'm too sleepy to meditate, I've got to fix this, I've got to change this, I've got to do something about this. If you've got enough awareness to recognize that you feel like you're too sleepy to meditate, explore what it might be to be curious about the sleepiness itself. often with a state like sleepiness or spacing out. I think I talked about this a little bit last week. You know, often with a state like that, what we're doing in that state is thinking we have to be paying attention to something in particular, or we're thinking that mindfulness has to feel a certain way. It's supposed to feel sharp and clear, and I'm supposed to know what the experience is very clearly. That's what mindfulness means. When our mind is sleepy, the experience is one of fogginess, of haziness. It doesn't feel sharp. It's often challenging to pick something out of the field of attention to pay attention to. It almost feels like we're surrounded by cotton balls or fog or something. But think about that analogy of being in fog. You know, if you're in fog on the freeway and you're trying to drive, you know, that's dangerous. It's you know, you're not able to see, you know, more than a few feet ahead of you. And so, yeah, it's a problem. And yet, if you're just in a fog and you're sitting in nature and there's fog, you can just know, wow, this is what it's like to be sitting in fog. This is the experience of fog. We know that there's nothing wrong with our eye. But often in having that idea, I can't be mindful while I'm sleepy, it's because we're trying to do something other than pay attention to what's just most obvious in our face, which is the sleepiness itself. Often when we're sleepy, it's not so easy to pay attention to something else. You know, it's not so easy to turn the attention to the breath or clearly connect with some other experience because of the state the mind is in. And yet it's possible to be, okay, yeah, I know that the mind is foggy right now. Just like sitting in that fog, we know that the fog is there and there's nothing wrong with the eye. We can know the experience of sleepiness and know there's nothing wrong with the awareness. Just as the eye takes in and can receive the fog, so our awareness can receive and know sleepiness or spacing out. And so in this exploration of the awareness itself, this is a really interesting kind of place to explore because, and for myself, I spent quite a bit of time watching and exploring the state, various states of this nature, dullness, sleepiness, torpor, spaciness, this kind of experience. I've spent quite a bit of time watching that because there was a period of my meditation where it was happening so much. And what I began to recognize is that it was helpful in so many ways. And one of the ways it was helpful was that I could really ground myself in knowing, yes, I know that I'm aware. There's not a lot of clarity in what I'm aware of. You know, it's foggy, it's hazy, it's dull. But yeah, here's awareness. And so this again is that pointing to that quality of mindfulness itself. It's like, mindfulness can know sleepiness. Mindfulness can know spaciness. So the curiosity around it is most helpful. You know, to be curious and not have any particular idea about what it means to be mindful. That's a real view that's helpful to kind of just recognize it's just a view that we think it means to be aware of in a certain way. I know that there were times in my practice where the awareness felt very clear and I could know exactly in a moment, oh, this is what the mind is paying attention to. It was very precise. It's like, yes, in this moment it's the feeling of the contact of my foot on the ground. In this moment, it's the sensation of breeze on my cheek. In the next moment, it was something else. In the next moment, something else. Just really clear where the attention was going. And it's delightful. You know, it's a delightful state. And in some ways, I thought, oh, that, I've arrived. This is what it means. This is what really clear mindfulness is. And then when I was spacey or dull, it's like, well, this isn't clear mindfulness. And so I would try to fix or change the state of mind, you know, thinking it was somehow a problem, it was something was wrong. At some point, I began to recognize, well, okay, this is what's happening, and I am aware of it. That's sufficient. That's enough. It doesn't have to be any different. And that kind of curiosity about, okay, well, this is what it's like now in this moment. It's like this is a mind that feels dull. I think initially I did feel like, well, this is a lesser kind of mindfulness. It's like, it's not as good as that other kind of mindfulness, but okay, I agree. I am aware here. I know that I'm aware. So, okay, my teachers have said this is enough, so I'll just try that. But what I began to recognize is there's certain states or certain experiences in that are possible for us in our minds. Certain completely radically different kinds of experiences that are not precise, that are not like, this is what's happening here. This is this sensation, this sight, this sound. You know, often I think in our recognition of being mindful, we like to know exactly what it is we are mindful of. It's like when we look up at the sky at night, we can pick out, oh, that's a star, or maybe we'll say that's a constellation, or there's a planet, or there's the moon. You know, we're looking at things individually, like individual points in the night sky. And that's a very comfortable and familiar way to be mindful. And yet, there's a whole vast set of states of mind, of experiences that are not precise like that. That's just like, it's a wash of experience, like the Milky Way. We can know the Milky Way. We don't know the Milky Way by pointing individual things out. It's more like a cloud, kind of like the fog is like a cloud. But we can know that. And in our experience, there's a lot of things like that. States of mind that are vast and diffuse. Certain experiences of concentration can have that quality, the state of concentration. And what I found is that the exploration of the various forms of dull mind, sleepy mind, foggy mind, sleepy, hazy, spacey, those are also not precise experiences. They're vague experiences. And that's some of the reason why we don't like or it's harder to be mindful of them too, because they're not so precise. And yet the exploration or the curiosity, yep, I'm aware and it's foggy, or I'm aware and it's kind of spacey, just that begins to give you the flavor of being aware of these non-specific experiences. And we tend to get lost in non-specific experiences. They're unfamiliar, perhaps, or they're just hard to pin down. We like things we can pin down. That's what we're familiar with. And so as we touch into experiences in meditation that are not so precise and not so easy to pin down, it can be uncomfortable. It can be kind of hard to stay with because there's no there. And this is where we can step back into, okay, yeah, I know I'm aware. I know that I'm aware. Not really so sure of what it is that I'm aware of, or how I even know that I'm aware, but I do know that I'm aware. Again, coming back to the mindfulness itself. So I want to take some time for questions or comments about this topic. Mostly I want to encourage a curiosity around your experience and a curiosity around what it means to be aware. Yeah.
So hearing experience of like what should I be or not be aware of, I feel like there's like this component of also loving kindness. It's like you're not wrong, that is exactly what you're supposed to be seeing.
Yes, that's a big piece of the whole receptive awareness practice. It's like everything's allowed. Everything is allowed. And that allowing is a flavor of loving kindness. And it's like, yeah, it's like it is a radical acceptance. It's a radical form of acceptance to explore in this way. And so you can sometimes touch into that quality too. It's like, oh yeah, sleepiness. Okay, that gets allowed too. And I think that exploring or recognizing the allowing side of it can be helpful. On one retreat recently, I was talking about the allowing side of things, and one student had said it had really resonated with him, and he was just, everything that came up, he says, okay, you're allowed. Oh, you too, you're allowed. You too, you're allowed. And it created a container of loving kindness and compassion. Yeah, so thank you for pointing to that.
So I was on a 3-day retreat with a bunch of these young people last weekend, and I haven't been sitting much in a while, and so went there and didn't feel very concentrated. My mind was all over the place, and but one of the walking periods, I went outside and I was just, I remembered what you had taught at one of your daily life practice retreats about just notice, you know, where your vision goes, notice where your hearing goes, just noticing where the attention goes as I'm walking around. I'm noticing birds and plants and
yes,
cars and whatever. And I found it really... One, I mean, it was like, oh, okay, I'm able to stay present.
Yes.
And the thoughts were really dying down. Not dying down, but, you know, the thoughts weren't taking over. It was
yes.
More just being in the experience. And also it was nurturing, because I felt like before that I'd been kind of, you know, at times anyway, beating myself up about not being able to stay concentrated. And this was like, just felt like...
It's kind of coming into alignment. It's coming into alignment with what's happening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the mind can, sometimes when we just come into alignment, it's like, oh yeah, this is what's happening. There can be a lot of releasing of tension that just allows us to really settle. So yeah, that's...
Well, wherever it goes, it's okay.
Yeah.
Or it's right. Not just okay, but
it's that's where it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's already there. It's already there. You mentioned something that it flitted through my mind to speak about during the talk, but I forgot to do it. And it's another great place to begin to explore where the attention gets pulled, and that's in seeing and in hearing. So I'll just mention that. I did speak about this in the retreat the other week, but it's a great place to begin to see where does the attention go. And so in walking, for instance, you can explore. So in doing walking meditation, instead of putting your attention on your feet, you can explore the field of seeing and hearing as a part of what's known. I mean, there's also the body moving, there's a lot going on, but a lot of what happens when we're doing walking meditation is that there's seeing and hearing happening. And often we're instructed to, you know, like put the blinders on, don't look around, and just go into the physical sensations of the body. But another way to explore it is to open the attention to include seeing and hearing, and then be curious about the attention again. So you could explore in the seeing realm, maybe take some time to explore, okay, seeing is happening, and then be curious about... So there's a distinction, we could say, between seeing and just kind of receiving. And you know, when we're walking and seeing, it almost feels like it's a camera going through space and things are kind of moving by us. And it's just like, you know, the attention's not landing anywhere in particular, but we know that we're seeing. And then at some point, something happens. Maybe something moves and we see a bird fly across our field of vision, or a puppy dog comes out, or a car drives by, and the attention just gets riveted to that. So there's a distinction in that moment. We see that the attention has been pulled to something. And if we can be curious about that and not try to have the idea of, oh, just being seeing, just receiving, that's better, but being curious about, oh, the attention gets pulled to that. I can know that. So kind of being curious about the distinction between seeing and looking, and not trying to stop the looking, but just notice, oh, the attention moved to looking. And then maybe, when does that change? You know, we notice the looking, and then we keep walking, and then something else draws the attention, or maybe it just goes back to receiving, or maybe there's a sound and the attention goes to hearing. And likewise, in the field of hearing, we can kind of be in the receptive stance of just receiving the experience, and then suddenly there'll be something that maybe happens suddenly. Maybe, like in the meditation, this happened for me. It's like I was just kind of in this field, and then suddenly there's the sound of the train, and the attention kind of goes there. It moves to listening to the train instead of just kind of receiving the experience. And so, the sudden sound of somebody coming in the door, the hearing went to that. It was started listening. And so we can recognize those distinctions between seeing and looking and hearing and listening. And that's very much in that terrain of the attention moving, of seeing the attention shift to something else. And not trying to stop it, but again, just like, oh, wow, the attention shifted. I didn't do that. Like, I didn't say in advance, oh, there's going to be a sound and I'm going to do that. I'm going to listen to that. It happened. And so we see that this process of attention is actually, it's conditioned. It's not something that we are, we can choose to pay attention to something. You know, the factor of attention does have some degree of control. We can choose to direct our attention. But often what happens is the attention gets directed by something else, by the sudden arising of a sound, or in the visual field, often by movement or color. Our attention goes to something because of movement or color. In sound, it's often because of something unusual or sudden arising in the field of hearing that the attention gets pulled to that. And it's very natural. It's not like we're trying to stop it. But when we can notice that, we can notice the attention get pulled and stay present for it. So that's a great place to begin to get familiar with that, following the attention. And I think that's what you were pointing to. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, behind you.
So for some people like myself who came to mindfulness as an antidote for rumination, I've never thought of spacing out while listening to a radio driving as actually sounds really nice. So I guess I'm wondering, and so it was helpful for me what you said about, you know, if you're feeling sleepy or if you're feeling angry or states of mind where you don't traditionally associate the capacity for mindfulness. That was really helpful for me to think about. But what is the suggestion that when you are, that like long durations of just pure spacing out is something one should attempt to avoid?
Well, when you're in the long state of spacing out, there's not much you can do. If mindfulness comes back in that state, in that moment, kind of curiosity about that. But I would like to say that, you know, there are states of mind that can be very sticky for us. So we have to use some measure of wisdom, of discernment about, is it possible to be mindful of this? So what I'd like to encourage is that it's possible more often than we think. to be aware of things like sleepiness, spaciness, dullness, emotions. It's often we have the immediate kind of, oh, that's not mindfulness, come back to the breath. And so we're not even giving ourselves the chance to explore it. And so that's what I'd like to suggest, give yourself the chance. But if you notice you give yourself the chance, it's like, okay, oh, can I be with this spacing out? And then you spend another 10 minutes spaced out. Maybe that experience is a little stronger than your ability to be mindful of it. And that might be a time where it's useful to pick something else, you know, pick a particular experience that you know you can connect with and stay with that for a few minutes to let the attention kind of lose its stickiness to that. Sometimes this might be true for a challenging emotion, a particularly reactive emotion, for instance. There were periods of time in my practice where anger was strong enough that I couldn't really pay much attention to it. And so I learned a strategy for it. I mean, like, well, I would try to turn to it, and I would just find myself in the swamp of anger for long stretches of time. And so for a period of time, I just recognized, okay, that state of mind has more power than my mindfulness has right now. It's like it's a tsunami, and my mindfulness is like a little trickle of a stream. And so I recognize that, in recognizing that the mindfulness isn't strong enough to meet that state. When I noticed the anger coming up, I would kind of acknowledge that state. It'd be like I'd bow to it. It's like I'd see you, and I'm not able to be mindful of you. And so I'm not going to try to stop you or repress you, but I'm also going to put my attention on something else. I'm going to turn my attention to something else. And often I find it most helpful to turn to something neutral as opposed to something pleasant when there's a difficult state of mind going on, to shift the attention to something neutral. Maybe for me, often I was walking when I got angry, so I directed the attention to the feet for that time. So we have to learn the warning signs about when something is too strong to do this exploration with. But give yourself an opportunity to try. And be willing to be in a place where it's kind of like, well, am I mindful? This is kind of fuzzy, hazy, and I don't know if I'm mindful, but okay. You know, just give yourself a chance to play with it. Because there's a lot of you know, we have these beliefs, you know, I can't be mindful while this is happening. I would say if you have that thought, don't believe that thought and give it a try. see what happens. But yeah. But do have some discernment about whether it's too strong.
And I guess I'm just a quick follow-up to that. I guess I'm asking, if you know that you have the capacity to be mindful, is it ever appropriate, you think, to elect not to be?
It depends on what practice you're doing. I mean, for instance, if you are exploring a concentration practice and you recognize you have the capacity to be mindful of a spacing out state or to turn your attention back to the object that you're concentrating on, shift to concentration. You know, it just depends on what your practice is and what you're exploring, cultivating. You know, that's up to you. Yeah. Yeah. And it's time to stop, unfortunately. So thank you for your attention. And I'm going to be away.